Thank you for taking a ride on the Freedom Train, your community resource podcast series. We are now live every Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm your conductor, Joseph Ward. And as always, ride with me is my good friend, Mr. Patrick Irvin. How you doing today, Pat?
I'm doing good. I'm lying. I'm making it, though.
Yeah, you still under the weather?
Yeah, but you know, the show must go on, right?
Hey, man, we appreciate you. Appreciate you pushing through, my brother.
Thank you. Yes, you know, I'm the type to play in the NBA Finals with a head cold. That's me.
That's good. You go enjoy it on them. I like that. Remember, all those on the line and all those who are in the know, spread the word. Tell people to join us by calling in at 712-775-7031. The access code is 619-364-257. The Freedom Train is sponsored by PAX, Inc. That's PACTSINC. PAX, Inc. is a black advocacy organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with a trace of hard work, honesty, and integrity. For more information, make sure you visit www.pactsinc.org. Also, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com to learn more about us and to hear the playback of our shows and your favorite show. And also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at _FreedomTrain, and make sure you like our Freedom Train Facebook page. So, Mr. Patrick, we got another good one today, man.
Yes, we do. I'm actually, you know what? Because I had never heard of energy medicine.
Right.
Until I started preparing for this interview.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I'm excited about it, too, because we get to learn new things. And, that, you know, that's what this show is about, being able to expose our audience to new things that could possibly help enhance their lives. So, you know.
Well, if you got to make it sound all impressive.
I mean, it is, man. You know. So, on the show today, we have Dr. Patricia Wingard Carson. How you doing today, Dr. Patricia?
I am doing fantastic, Joseph. And I want to give a sincere appreciation for this opportunity to be a part of something wonderful that you have here. You know, caring and sharing and enlightening, informing people and providing opportunities for a meaningful conversation to ensue. You're to be applauded. And I would also like to say thank you to my dear, dear friend, Mr. Keith Turner, for initiating my invite and for his continuous contribution. He has wonderful words of wisdom towards the education of the youth. On his Facebook page, Jewels for the Mind. Keith is a true educator, and I am glad that he invited me to be on your show.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, Keith is awesome, and we appreciate you. We thank you for giving up your time to be with us today to, you know, enlighten us on the things that you've done, because reading through your bio, you have done a lot. You've accomplished many things in your life. My hat goes off to you. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. That's very kind.
Stop keeping us in suspense, Joe. We can't read her bio. Tell us.
I know. So give them a little background information, and then we're going to get into our conversation. So Dr. Patricia Wingard Carson is one of the country's top energy medicine practitioners and educators. She earned 2 master's degrees, one in the field of energy medicine and the other in the science of intuition. She serves as energy medicine director and holistic lifestyle coach in Ohio, where she founded the Center for Energy Medicine. Dr. Patricia completed her doctorate studies in holistic nutrition with the intent of merging the metaphysics of spirituality, energetics, and nutrition. She strives to inspire and enlighten everyone she meets. She believes everyone has the power within to accomplish miraculous things. Dr. Patricia Wingard Carson has experience speaking to corporate America, government, and private and educational audiences. Her contagious energy captivates your attention and inspires you to greatness. She is well known as an inspirator, I think I said it right, as an award-winning author, inspirational columnist, former radio talk show host and natural health care prevention advocate. Dr. Patricia Wingard Carson resides in Ohio and has two sons, Dorian and Derek Wingard. Once again, our audience, we'd like to introduce Dr. Patricia Wingard Carson. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I love it. I love that.
Our studio audience approves. Yes, ma'am. So, as always, Patrick, you know you have the first question. Let's do this.
All right. So, I'm going to be on the beaten path for this first one.
Okay.
I'm having a difficult time.
Is that better?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. So I'm gonna be on the beaten path for this first one, and then after that, there ain't no telling.
Yeah.
So
we know.
So first off, thank you for being on the show, and I'm super excited because, like I said, I had never heard of energy medicine until I started researching for you to come on the show. So, you know, in doing that, we found out you're an author, you're a doctor of holistic nutrition, a national speaker, a professor. So I'm curious, out of all of your accomplishments, which one was the most satisfying to you, and why is it the most important of all of them?
That's a good and interesting question, and one that's kind of challenging for me to answer, and this is why, because every obtained goal is the journey that that defies and changes the person that I am, and I believe in most people. So I'm going to reframe that as which journey did I enjoy to get to that point.
Okay.
I would say being an author, writing is a blissful experience for me always, and always has been since I was a child. But also obtaining insight into how we're made, how the Creator made us. And energy medicine allowed me to peek into the science of that. So it's kind of like science catching up with what we already know, with God, the Creator, and discovering just how wondrously and fearlessly we are made. And so that journey there just kept giving me awe experience and wows, and lots of awes and wows. So I would say accomplishing those studies in energy medicine, because it gave me, it seriously increased who I was, and my knowledge of who we are, this magnificent being. I mean, even beyond what we can imagine. And I think I heard you say that you weren't aware of what energy medicine was, but you are, because you are it. I have a saying that, that we are science, chemistry, and biology at its apex, in our own natural medicine chest, and our body is naturally designed to move towards wholeness and wellness. And so we don't particularly have to be a scientist to get this. We are science. We don't have to be a biologist. We are biology. And we don't have to be a chemist because we are pure chemistry at its finest. And so the idea or the concept, I think, to grasp is knowing and remembering that and knowing how to align ourselves with that, tap into the greatness that we already are. And that's all energy medicine is. It's tapping into the natural flow of the body's natural flow towards wholeness. And, sometimes along the way, based on our experiences or, what we go through or exposed to in life, we have energy blocks. But I'm sure you're familiar with some forms of energy medicine, such as massage, acupuncture, acupressure. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard of the term kinesiology, reflexology.
Right.
All of those are forms of allowing the body's own natural energy points to align themselves. I think the Eastern medicine calls it our chi, you know, to keep the energy flowing. And, you know, when we have blocks, those blocks tend to create symptoms, and those symptoms, if not dealt with, tend to create conditions.
Okay. That's cool. But I like the way you explained it, because you explained it in a way that actually makes sense. You know, even to me, you put it at a level, because when you even in relating it to the massage therapy and the kinesiology and all those things there, it helps to paint a picture in our head. So we basically are these things. We just have to learn our place in this universe, I guess, basically what you're saying.
Yeah, this is like a holistic approach. It's taking the whole person into consideration, not just their physiology, but their emotional body, their mental body, their physical body, their etherical body, the whole human, the whole. And the human part is the smallest part, because we have, we have our spirituality, which is like, and you've probably heard this, where spirits having a human experience.
Yes.
And so the most powerful part of us is the part that I've learned that we neglect or don't tap into the least in order to move ourselves back into a state of wholeness. And it's just a way of reminding and tapping back into our magnificence. That's the bottom line.
Okay. I like that. So and that helps, you know, lead into the next question, because your academic career, you've obtained much in your academic career. You have a bachelor's in business administration, you have two master's degrees, one in the science of nutrition and the other in energy medicine, and you also earned a doctorate in holistic medicine. So entering college, was it your plan to take this path, or did certain things in life help lead you to this point?
No, it was not my plan.
Okay.
I planned on being a lawyer.
Okay.
as a young kid, I always wanted to. I liked the thought of carrying an attaché case, and I always loved words. So I always had a love for putting words together and painting pictures, and I always thought that I could do a great job in painting pictures before a jury or a judge. but life has interesting paths, and we pick and choose as we go, and life lent itself to I chose this path. Along the way.
Mm-hmm.
It was something that I discovered. Once I got into it, I discovered that it was something that I was already living, as you will discover for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
When you're eating off the vine and the branch, you are vibrating with the nutrition that the Creator created for your body parts. And then in studying energy medicine, you learn that everything is vibratory. Everything is energy. And so everything has an effect upon everything. mm-hmm. from your words, thoughts, feelings, actions, and reactions. It effectuates your life and the life of those around you. And, you know, the law of attraction. We attract our experiences. And sometimes, what's that saying? If you always think what you've always thought, then you'll always feel like you've always felt. If you always feel like you've always felt, then you'll always do what you've always done. If you always do what you've always done, then you always get what you've always gotten. And if you always get what you've always gotten, you'll always think like you've always thought. And so people seem to think that, well, I say that I'm tired of being broke because I'm always broke. But the real flip vibrational side of that is that you're always broke because you always say it.
Right.
Because energy follows intent. And so part of my process, and although I teach about nutrition, and I teach about the body's energy fields and et cetera, the real magic of it is the awakening to remember what we forgot. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's all. Because it's something that, what's amazing about this, Joseph, is once you begin to ask the question, which is a vibration itself, and to understand that the question and the answer is two different vibratory, two different vibrations. And so I'm going to equate this back to prayer because I'm thinking that we all know a little something about praying.
Uh-huh. Yes, ma'am.
And so, you know, prayers of beseechment or prayers of supplication, you know, when we're like what I describe as a beg, and you just keep doing that over and over and over again, when the asking is all we're required to do, ask and it shall be. But then the word also says to call something forth as though it were, and it shall be. And so the other phase of that, in the asking, we're supposed to stand steadfast in knowing that it is already done. And it is already done vibrationally, but we have to align ourselves up with that vibration in order for it to become densified and manifested in our lives on the physical realm. Does if that makes sense?
Yes, it does.
And so understanding energy medicine is a... and not so much by the words energy medicine, because it's a universe, it's a law, just like the law of gravity. They've just recently, within the past 20 years, have coined the terms to give it a definition. But it's nothing new. It's not new. It's just new terminology.
Okay.
So
Patrick.
I hear you.
Turn yourself up.
I'm sorry. I keep turning my mic down so y'all don't hear me being sick. My fault. So, I hear you. You spoke of prayer, and you spoke of the law of attraction and calling things into existence. And I was listening to your bio that you sent to us, the video. I'm sorry, not the actual bio. You mentioned about some of your struggles, being homeless, the 10 years in poverty. And even particularly the book that you wrote, Peculiar Pain, A Close Look.
Peculiar Pain, yes,
A Close Look at, yeah. I'm wondering, where all of these tactics are strategies and things of that nature that you use to get from those places where you were in a down state or a slump in your life to a better place? Like, are you giving us the tools that you use to move from where you were to where you are now?
Yeah. Is this is not Joseph, right?
No,
no, this is Patrick.
Okay, Patrick. Certainly. Hello?
Yes.
Certainly there are processes that we all use to get from point A to point B or to remain wherever it is we don't want to be.
Right.
My processes, I may, you know, this is, you know, the poverty piece was before I even heard of the term energy medicine. But I will be happy to share the process that I use to get through all of those. And I've always given myself a picture of, you know, sometimes you end up somewhere and you say, how in the hell did I get on the
yes.
how did I get here?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Well, for me, the how I got there was like on this side of the river when I was over there just a moment ago, and now I'm sitting over here without a raft or anything.
Yeah.
You know, that nothingness, that aloneness, that poverty, you know, whatever that is for you. For me, it was Poe in raising two young sons. So the principle that worked for me then and that continues to work for me is I know that there's another side of the river where I want to go. And so I ask myself, it was never a matter of can I get there, will I make it. I've always had a strong constitution based on my spirituality. It's not can I, because I always believe that with the help of God, all things are possible. So I always knew I would get there. So my main question was that I posed to myself was, how do I want to be found once I get there? Because I shall get there. And so in answering that question, that's when I gave myself permission to map out what it is I wanted, how I wanted to be found when I got to the other side. And in posing those questions to myself, or when we begin to look for something or have something be important to us, we have within our brain what's called the reticular activation system. Once you decide that something is important to you or you're seeking something, because the mind and brain, there's millions of things going around us, all enough to like drive you crazy or just blow the brain up or whatever, for to say, if you were aware of them. We only stay aware of what we choose to be important to us. And so the reticular activation system, once we make a statement, or you may say set a goal, and I know you've had this experience, it starts bringing to your awareness those things. Like if you got a white car, and then all of a sudden you look around, you just see white cars everywhere.
Right, right.
Has that ever happened to you?
Yeah. All the time.
And so that's that system in the brain that, because that white car was brought into your awareness or you sought after getting one, it started bringing it onto your radar. Law of attraction, it made it vibratory important to you. So now your eyes see it. People begin to come in you may see somebody at a bus stop, in the elevator, or just words on the commercial, on a billboard. The signs on the path begin to light up, but that's only because you began the process. So as I begin the process of knowing that I'm going to get to the other side of the river, I'm in a grocery store, and I mean, flat broke. I think I had like maybe 80 cents.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the process of going through a divorce, and I was staying with my sister, and we went to the grocery store. And this magazine caught my eye, and I just was led to pick it up off the rack and flip through it. And I saw the term energy medicine. And just like you, Patrick, was like, And I began to read, and then it was impressed in me to, like, you know, make contact and, you know, see what's going on about that, and da-da-da-da-da. And I did. I got enrolled, and you may have heard of the, her name is Dr. Caroline Mace. Between she and Dr. C. Norman Shealy, who's a neurosurgeon. Uh-huh. But they were my professors in this field, and they were pioneers in coining this terminology for this, what's called the study of subtle energy in energy medicine. And so, you know, I got involved in it. I went through the process, and I'm told that I'm the first African American to graduate with such a degree. And I also got a dual degree at the same time, which was in the science of intuition. So that process led to something else, and I became so intrigued in it. I wanted to open up a center and teach and share all this magnificent remembrance.
Yes.
And so I did that in downtown Columbus, Ohio for, a few years, and I became a Reiki master with that. You know, I taught, I wrote books and columns, and, you know, one thing just continued to roll out after the next. And that's how that commenced.
Okay. Change of mindset, because while you were explaining, you know, you going through your process and, you know, talking about your thoughts and your attitude and your intentions, as you're talking, I'm seeing my mother just wave her finger at me saying, "See, I told you so. You know, that's what I'm imagining, because that's what she's telling me all the time. You know, watch your words. Your word is your one. Watch your words. So as you're saying that, I'm just, I see her waving her finger at me. So
words and thoughts become things. They
right.
literally do. And, I mean, just look at the chair you're sitting on, or the phone you're talking through. That was first a thought in someone else's mind.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
And now it's a big manifestation.
Yes, ma'am. And that's what I try to remind myself and others that I'm around. You know, look around you. Everything that's around us was once just an idea.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I appreciate you taking the time to go through that, because far too often we get in spaces where we're around somebody that can truly help us with whatever journey we're going through. And oftentimes instead of asking this person to walk us through the journey, we just ask them to describe the destination. And so, you know, in a lot of cases, people need somebody that's been down but is now up to explain to them how they went from being down to being up, versus explaining to them how wonderful it is to be up. So I appreciate you taking the time to talk about your personal life and explain your journey from where you were to where you are now. I really appreciate that.
Oh, well, you're welcome. Yes, for sure.
So not to delve too much deep into your personal life, but one thing that one thing that caught my eye as I was watching your biographical video on YouTube is you mentioned that you overcame a stuttering issue as a child, and listening to you now, no one would ever know. And you are a national, you know, world-renowned speaker, and you explain stuff so vividly, and I love the way that you take the time to make sure that we really understand what you're saying. So how were you able to overcome stuttering to become the great speaker that you are now? And what advice would you give to any young person who is struggling to overcome their stuttering issue?
Well, Joseph, that's a good question, and I love the opportunity to testify about it.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to say I don't know how, but if I were to guess, because it was very, very profound all the way up to the sixth grade. And matter of fact, I remember my sixth grade teacher, Mr. Goddard, when we used to give oral book reports, I would be saved for last because it was such an entertaining. And he would kick back, lean back in his chair, put his feet back on the desk, and I would have practiced all week just on how to say the title, you know, your name and the title. Mm-hmm. But then when it would come out, it would do it would do its thing. Part of that is I was one of those kind of children that did not, number one, I had very high pain tolerance. Okay. And so I'm thinking that also matched with my emotional shame. That was high. I mean, I had none. I just recall my grandfather, Coy Lee Wolf, the best storyteller in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you would say I was a kid that had like a detective mind that could remember and recall. He would tell me stories. And I had to be probably maybe 2 feet tall because I talked early and I walked. I did everything kind of early, but I had an accident when my speech was formulating. I fell off my grandmother's piano stool and I practically, you know, severed my tongue, and it was told to my parents that I would probably develop a stammering way of communicating because I would maybe be shameful to try to speak because people would make fun of me, and they did, grown folks and children. But my grandfather, he always lit up. He loved to hear me tell my stories, even in the stuttering, and I loved to hear him laugh. It was so infectious. And so when other people laughed, I laughed too because it did sound funny.
Right.
And it felt funny. So I don't know if you would call that an interesting form of grace where God did not place that shame upon me. And I just near my end of the sixth grade or seventh grade, it just went away. But I cannot say it just went away because I would have to say I have a prayerful mom that, to this day, when I stay with her, her name is Ruby N. Jones Wolf. She anoints me with oil, and she prayed. She prayed for her, you know, her family and children, and I, you know, with grace, prayer, and too silly to know that I'm supposed to be affected by it forever. It happened, and perhaps it was because God knew that there was more of me to come.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Oh, man.
So how did you go from where did writing come in the picture for you?
Okay, Patrick, I'd have to say I was born with that. I was born with a love for it. I was born with a love for words. And as far back as I can remember, I've been intrigued with how you can take the alphabet, you know, letters out of the alphabet, and make words, and then take those words and make paragraphs and paint pictures. So I've just always been intrigued with words. So I took it a step further. You know, I studied to show myself approved to increase my vocabulary so I can paint better.
Right.
And it just was always blissful for me. That's truly my bliss, the written and the spoken word. So some people say that's the gift, but you know, like I do, you have to sharpen your tools and guard and increase your gift. And the more you do, the more you get. So, you know, whoever is out there that has I get asked quite often, well, how do you write a book? How do you get started? And my answer is the same always. Just pick up a pen and a piece of paper
and get started. Yes, ma'am.
And you would be surprised what begins to flow out once you start priming the well. Because everyone has a story to tell. Everyone has an imagination. And they say, well, how do I start? Where do I start? It's your story. You can begin it anywhere and anyhow you want to. Just let it flow. And what magically happens, because everything is vibratory and has a life force, even the written word has a life force, eventually, as you keep writing, the story will begin to write you. It will begin to guide and direct you on how it wants to birth and unfold through you. And it's the most interesting feeling. If you've never had it, just start writing. I would love for everyone to experience that.
Right. Now, also in your video, you mentioned that in college you used to help people get A's by writing for them. And could you take us a little deeper into how that helped translate into you as a published author?
Yes, I was terrified of numbers. And don't ask me if I thought they were going to drop off the page and strangle me or what. But
I know how you feel.
I was terrified of numbers. So when I was studying to get my undergrad, you know, you have to take a lot of math courses. In my case, I had to take a lot of four levels of accounting and statistics and probability, quantitative methods, and just frightening stuff, you know. And I had friends that were great at math but hated to write. And I'm like, gosh, if I could write my way through college, I would be sad. And so in exchange for them to tutor me in math and help me pass my math courses, I would write their term papers. Now, of course, that wasn't the right thing to do, but it's how I made it through and how I helped others make it through while they helped me make it through. And they would get, you know, wonderful grades, A's and B's on their term papers or their research papers. And in exchange, I would pass my math course, and it was a wonderful relationship.
Right. Yeah, the business relationship going. That's all it was.
It was a business. It was a win-win. Exactly.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
So, and I can appreciate what you were saying earlier about books writing you. I was going through that just last night, actually, where a book was kind of taking over, and I was just along for the ride. So
Well, you let it have its way.
It truly is a wonderful thing. It's hard to describe to people that haven't written anything before, but it is a wonderful thing. You sit down with an idea of what you're going to do, and then you start writing, and then the next thing you know, what's coming out is not what you planned to come out, and it's a wonderful thing. You go in directions you hadn't even considered possible. So, and in that, you've written quite a few books.
Yes.
The Wonderment, Ancestral Wisdom for Masterful Leadership. We talked about Peculiar Pain earlier. Did all of these books, were when you sat down to start writing, were all of these books the intention, or were you in planning on writing something else and these books just started pouring out of you?
All of the above. when I'm asked, well, what genre, you know, do you write? And like people ask me what my favorite color is, my response to that is the rainbow. So as I'm okay now with acknowledging and giving myself permission to say that I have a writing gift.
Okay.
And so I embrace that. And so with that, genres are, you know, whatever wants to birth through me or whatever someone wants to hire me to write, it's just, I can do that. But as far as the Wonderment, I had started the Wonderment, Ancestral Wisdom for Masterful Leadership is what it's called. And then I had this interesting experience of sexual harassment, and it like interrupted my life. I mean, when you want to just go to work, get paid, go home, back to your family, you're not allowed to do that. And some interesting things happened, and that's the least book that I wrestled with that I did not want to write.
Uh-huh.
And so following my spiritual impressions, when I say I was, you know, God wants me to write this book, I laid the Wonderment down and I wrote Peculiar Pain, A Close Look at Black-on-Black Sexual Harassment and Its Impact. And with that, I did like it took me a year to get these surveys done. So it's not only just a story, but it's a reference book. Colleges and women's organizations across the country began to use the book, and it instantly catapulted me into the national speaking arena as an expert. That's when I did that part. And then I went back to what I was loving to write. I did the national speaking and the book signing tours. But then I did get back to the Wonderment and finished it off. It caught the eye of Les Brown, the motivator, and he wrote the foreword in that. But it's a wonderful book that can be utilized for leadership training for older youth and in corporations. And it takes place on the continent of Africa, where these 12 youth find themselves in a similar dilemma. And through their journey, their process, they come across elders that impart rules and principles and concepts of life to them that can be utilized in the reader's life. And then at the end of the book, it has like road mapping that people can incorporate and imprint their own road map regarding their leadership desires. And then
right.
I have, so then I wrote a children's book on nutrition after, you know, I got my degree in holistic nutrition, and it became a concern that, you know, the health that our children are dying from.
Right.
Adult diseases.
That's true.
And it just became a big issue for me when, you know, we're living in a nation that we're bombarded with the notion that the frequent choice of fast food is okay, when in fact, they're deadly choices. Nutritionally,
exactly.
Most fat foods are empty fillers, high in fat, sugars, and chemicals that destroy the body and build illnesses and diseases, because disease and illnesses, those are built. We build those in our system.
Right.
They just don't happen overnight.
Right.
And our children are dying earlier than parents from adult diseases. So I'm like, okay, Patricia, you love children. You got some knowledge on health and nutrition. You were an organic kid yourself. Write a book to help the young ones, you know, the middle schoolers, get a better understanding on how to, you know, to eat, to live. And so I created this book called The Great Escape, Superfood Takes a Stand. And it is a very colorful, wonderful piece about this special little girl who is kind of intuitive, and she lives in a house with her brother and a big Rottweiler dog and her parents called the Greedies.
Okay.
And one day, this, you know, she... You know, to make a long story short, the food cooks with her. She begins. She has a communication with the food. She's able to hear the food talk, and they want to escape to a place called Food Court Utopia, where food never rots, and you know, this saran wrap is like heaven for food, because they don't want like living in a house where greedy people do not appreciate the nutritional gifts that they bring. So this book allows the food to communicate with the reader, the little ones, the importance of the gift of life that they bring. And so through this cute little storyline, young ones are able to appreciate food. And plus it has I created a cross-course curriculum to attach to it so that it can be used in school system across the country. And, you know, we're in the process of making that happen. Then, you know, to speak of another genre, I was hired to write an autobiography of a businessman here in Atlanta, Ohio, named Reginald Haslam Sr., who has a ground transportation logistic management company that the world needs to know about.
Right.
This African-American man has done magnificent things, and he grew up with a learning disability as far as reading and comprehension, but he was good with numbers. And he started off in, grew up on the south side of Atlanta, raised by his grandmother, and chose not to go to college because, you know, he was made fun of a lot in school, so he, you know, decided to go the labor route and work for Delta Airlines. But he always had dreams, and he would see these celebrities come in on the plane as they're handling the luggage, and he decided that he wanted to start a tour bus for these celebrities. You know, people laughed, made fun of him, but he found this bus, fixed it up to make it long, and the story is a phenomenal story. And the process of writing this story for me was a phenomenal experience. But, I mean, this is a person who had clients on his tour bus, such as the Jackson 5, the Commodores, Peeble Bryson, Aretha Franklin, you know, Chaka Khan, SOS Band, just to name short part of the list. And he did that, and then he moved it into corporate transport, and now he travels the world. He's global. You know, he does Olympics, Super Bowls, you know, big events like that, moving thousands of people from point A to point B, doesn't own one bus, but he does the logistic management of all of them. And he's right here in Atlanta. And so, you know, I see it. And that was a huge project because I had to, you know, come down here to Atlanta, come to Atlanta and Birmingham's other office, probably interview 28 to 30 people. And I have a background as an investigator, so I know how to interview and get poignant questions asked and answered. And so the interviewing process, and then you fact-finding, put all that on the, you know, you organize all of that. And then it was important for him to align black history with that, what was going on in the civil rights movement. And so I had to study his age and what, you know, when Malcolm X got killed or Martin Luther King or the, you know, the school bombing in Birmingham. You know, so I had to do historical research and align that. So it was much, it was more than a notion, but it was a labor of love. And it's you can find that on in e-book form. And he's got hard copies, but I even wrote the screen script for it, so they're shopping it for a movie. It's called The Ride of a Lifetime, the Reggie Hassan success story. But so, John, as far as genres are concerned, it's as a writer, and Pastor Tiffah probably find this true for you also, that you flow with what comes to you to give birth to. Are you a writer, Joseph?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, good. I would love to put my eye on some of your writing.
Yes, ma'am.
Keith, I keep up with his written spoken word.
Yeah. Well, see, Keith is. I would say he's one of the main people who pushed me to write. The book, my book that I have out, he pushed me to write that one. So he's very, very, very resourceful, instrumental, and he knows how to get things done. So
he is, and he's an encourager, and he provides great insight and resources for writers or want to be writers on his website. So if anyone's listening and wants some tidbits, guidance, and directions, you really should check out Jules, the number 4, Demind, the letter D. Jules 4 Demind, because Keith, he has a plethora, like a, after a while, he's going to sit on encyclopedia. He has a lot of information for not only writers, but for educational components, how to teach your, fun ways to teach your children how to write, math. He's just a great guy, and I'm honored to have him as a friend and a supporter of what I do.
Yes, ma'am. I would like to go back a bit because for your book, The Wonderment, Ancestral Wisdom for Masterful Leadership, you managed to get Les Brown to write your introduction. And I want to know, how did you get Les Brown to write your introduction? Like, you have to be, like, the coolest person in the world. And what tactics did you use?
Well, I use tactics. I've known him for centuries.
Okay.
When he was a disc jockey, when he was running for state representative, you know, my family and I, we, like, did door-to-door campaigning. When he, and he used to teach classes in Columbus, Ohio, mind-shifting, conscious-raising classes in Columbus, Ohio. We've just known him as a family for a long time. However, he doesn't just put his name in. And, of course, he doesn't have time to read everything, I'm sure. But when he read this piece, he wrote a very lengthy and profound introduction for the wonderment, and, you know, and moving like that. So that's how, you know, that's how that happened. But as far as wanting things like that to happen, the first thing you have to do is ask. What's
right.
the thing?
Right.
Yeah, I'm not going to ask not, and you'll be surprised.
You're right.
What energy follows intent. You know, you just you'd be surprised when you align with the upside of your vision. And, you know, just put it on your prototype or put it on your rough draft, you know, write what it is you think he would say and sign that in as a vision and hold that to be true or whomever you would like to see that happen for or with.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I like that. I'm inspired. I'm ready.
I'm the inspirator.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And you just, and you're smooth with it as well.
So now you.
Well, I think that comes from loving what you do and believing in what you say and living your best and what you stand for.
Right.
So now, Joe, you finna go and get Barack Obama to write your foreword for your next book?
No. I was thinking more of Renoko Rashidi. That was okay. That's who I wrote down.
Okay.
Put it down.
Yes, ma'am, I did.
Each of my books, if I can interject this, because looking back to the law of attraction and visualizing and the power of your thoughts, but even more powerful than the thoughts, or just as important as, is the emotional charge that you attach to it. Because our emotions are like our barometer to the universe. So it's not like the universe doesn't necessarily hear or understand the language that you're speaking, but it attaches to the vibratory feeling that you attach to your visions.
Right.
And so that's how the law of attraction works. So you have to feel, align with the feeling of what it would feel like when they announce your name as New York Times bestseller. What
yes,
does
ma'am.
That feel like, Joseph? What does that feel like, Patrick? Live that feeling. Visit that
right.
feeling.
Okay. Because, I get it, though, and I like the way you put that because I often watch certain videos on YouTube and through other outlets, and they, you know, a lot of people, they talk about that feeling and the vibratory thing, but nobody ever put it like you just said, you know, when you're sitting down imagining it, you know, what are you feeling when you walk across that stage and you accomplish whatever you're doing, or if you're catching that football or whatever you're doing? I like the way you put that because now it really makes you go inside yourself and really, really pull out your feelings. What are you feeling?
Right, and sit and visit with that, and well, like the good book says, call it forth as though it were.
Right.
So, and then now, let me say this, because this is very, very important. I know earlier at the onset of the conversation, you know, I talked about or shared someone else's poignant words about if you always think what you've always thought. But it aligns back up with that. It is calling it forth as though it were. This is what that means, Patrick, listeners, Joseph, that your thoughts, feelings, words, actions, and reactions have to be in alignment. They have to be saying the same thing. Yes. You can't say, I want to be prosperous, or I'm prosperous, and then, you know, your dude calls on the phone and says, man, I'm so tired of being broke. And then you touch and agree and say, yeah, me too.
Right.
And so then you're split. So your words have to, your feelings and words, they have to walk congruent with one another. And when you get that cohesiveness, that chord going with those five things, your feeling, your thoughts, your feelings, your words, actions, and reactions, when those become congruent and they're going at the same rhythm and the vibration, that's where the magic is. That's when you become a manifester and a co-creator of your world.
Yes, ma'am.
In life, in circumstances, practically become blameless. Things like discrimination, racism, they don't stand a chance with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a higher, cohesive, collective, vibratory energy that's between you and the universe, and it must give way. Because it's an infallible law of the universe. Just like gravity, when you jump off a building, you're not going to jump up. You're going to fall down, because the law of gravity is an infallible law.
Correct. That's correct.
So,
yeah, that's like, your words are very, very, very inspiring and motivating, and it touches. It's like the best way I can explain it, it's like listening to like one of your favorite songs on the vinyl, and you just feel it deep down inside you, because, mm-hmm. like you're saying, and especially the path that you took in life, it's refreshing that. You know, you can tell that you live what you say, and your life has dictated that you have to live what you say in order to get where you are in life and to accomplish your goals. And I, you know, we're thankful that you decided to make the choices that you made and you followed through, because your experiences and your words are basically being poured into us. And it's something that we can take and help build ourselves and give to other people, because I think that you have given us information that, you know, we've, like you said, we've been seeking for a long time. It's just you making it clearer and clearer to how we can get on that path and seek that higher being, that higher self. Whatever you're accomplishing, whatever you're going after, you can do it, as long as you really, really believe it and feel it that you can do it.
And no one can stop you.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. We appreciate you calling in and giving us these words of wisdom, giving us your story, most of all, because you didn't have to be willing to go into your life, but you have. You've done some amazing things, and I am very, very, very appreciative that you decide to be on the line for us, and you know, you have to get this applause.
I love it.
Yes, ma'am. Yes. I am
that's
great.
Beautiful. Yes, it is beautiful what you all are doing, like I said up front, to create an opportunity for meaningful conversations to ensue, because that's energy itself. You know, that's to talk about it and to, let me say this about what you just said also.
Okay.
It feels that way only because it resonates within you, only because it's a reminder of what you already know.
Right.
I'm not saying anything that your soul and spirit is not aware of, because that's how you were created. you are a spirit having a human experience, and you are a co-creator, a creator, and a manifester. You are a magnificent, wondrously, fearlessly made being. And one of my desires is to be able to remind as many people as possible what we forgot to remember. That's it.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Before we wrap this up, can you give all of our listeners information on where they can find you? Where can they contact you?
Yes. My website is drpwc.com. If someone is interested in having further conversation, you know, creating a platform, I do speak, and we filling out the calendar for, you know, the rest of this year and next year. But the address would be, of course, my name, Dr. Patricia Wingard Carson, and that would be P.O. Box 328712, P.O. Box 328712, and that is in Columbus, Ohio, 43232.
Okay.
And my email, you're going to like it, is energymedicine@msn.com.
Oh, that's cool. energymedicine@msn.com. Remember, yes, ma'am. Remember, her website is www.drpwc.com. You have to go and check her out. And she also has her electronic press kit on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and type in Dr. Patricia Wingard Carson. I'm telling you, you're gonna love it. All of her information, everything that she's offering to us, it's a blessing. We're greatly, greatly, greatly thankful for you. Like I said, thankful that you took the path that you've taken and that you chose to give up your time with us and give us more information about what you do. We're greatly appreciative of that, and I'm sure our audience is just in love with you and your words. I appreciate you very much.
I appreciate you, Patrick, and Joseph. You, Joseph, and yeah, you got to thank your friend Keith.
Yes, ma'am.
yeah. If you see him, give him a. I won't tell you to hug him because you would die. But yeah, yeah, shake his hand real tight for Dr. Patricia.
Okay. Hey, he's actually on the line.
Hi, Keith.
Keith, you still here? Okay.
I'm here now. Hello.
Yes.
Okay. Well, good. Good.
Yes, hey, Doc. How you doing?
I'm doing great. After the interview, give me a call, okay, so we can catch up.
Okay, we'll do.
All right.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. No, thank you. And we like we tell all of our guests, this is a platform that we create for people like yourself who are doing great things in our community. So if you ever have things going on in the future and you want to have a platform to get it out further to people, you always have a place here on the Freedom Train. You get you a VIP section, you get your own cart, your own Pullman porter, whatever you like. We'll fly in the best of whatever we need on this Freedom Train for you. Make it comfortable for you. You can lay it out, decorate it, whatever colors you need. You have
on this Freedom Train.
Definitely
great hospitality.
Yes, ma'am.
Can I interject? I would like for Doc to let us know where we can get our books.
You can go on Amazon. I think they're offering them in the ebook form, and and that's kind of for some business logistics on how that's panning out. So we do most of our book exchanges during the speaking platform. Okay. But there, I know the Ride of a Lifetime, the Reginald Haslam Senior Success Story out of Atlanta, that's available ebook on Amazon, and The Great Escape, Superfood Takes a Stand. I believe The Wonderment is also available on Amazon in ebook form, but a lot of the hard copies of our books are exchanged or accessible during our speaking platform, and that's currently a business decision.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Well, we're not going to hold you up too much longer, but once again, we appreciate you and we thank you, and we look forward to speaking with you in the future.
Okay, I look forward to reading about you.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I'll make sure I get you my contact information and information about my book and everything, and I'll make sure you get Patrick information as well.
Great, great.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and thank you to the listening audience.
No problem. See you later.
Bye-bye. Bless you.
All right. Take care.
Patrick.
What's up?
We did it again.
Yeah, that was a banger.
One more time, where that interview at? Whoop, there it is.
Yeah, man.
Man, she cool. If she hang out with my mom, they gonna be like, see, my mom gonna be like, Joe, I told you, Joe. I told you, but you don't wanna listen to me.
Yeah.
I told you, Joe. Because everything she says, like because the way she put it with the natural, with the energy medicine. Because my mom used to put like quotes all around the house, like that's what we grew up with, like pictures of. What I remember, it was this one picture that she stuck on the wall, this little black boy talking about I can run for president, and then sticky notes all over the house with your words are your one, watch your energy, seven laws of nature, and all these things here. So, you know, every time you use the bathroom, you're like, if you think it, you can dream it. If you dream it, you can become it. So you're just saying it over and over and over. But then when you go out, like she said, when you go into the outside into the real world, you face so much negativity. Oftentimes you get caught up into it and you feed into it instead of staying into your positive place. So,
yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's up, man.
That's what they say when they talk about positive thinking nowadays is really a thin layer of positive thinking that's on top of this massive cascading waterfall of negative thinking.
Right. Right. Yeah, man. So, got to get your mind right.
That was
yeah, man. She's thorough, too. I like that. I like the way she explains it to you. Man, shoot. It's going down next week, too, man. It's going down. We have the Johannes. We got the Johannes sisters next week. Getting a little, we're gonna get step back into the fashion world, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
You know, trying to be, feel a little more sexy or something like that, you know what I'm saying? That's what I'm trying to do. We have Lily and Zizi, Johannes of Johannes Sisters Couture. So I don't even know what couture is, so I get to find out what couture is.
There you go.
I know they talk about it on TV, but hey, man, they don't have that where I grew up at, so.
Going down,
man.
Yes.
Man, I love y'all, man. Y'all, Keith, man, you the man, too. You got contacts on top of contacts, man. I appreciate you.
Man, we all the men. We're going to keep pushing, man. Magic happening now, man.
Yes, sir. We're going to get David Banner on this show, too. We're going to get David Banner. We're going to get Saw Rock, the MC. They getting on this show.
Yeah.
We're going to get, who are we getting? Claude Anderson. We're going to get everybody. We're going to get everybody we want. They already on here.
Yep.
It is. Well, look here, people. I'm Joseph Ward, Mr. Patrick Irvin. I appreciate you every week. You know, especially you battling your cold this week. You got that tussin in your body, so you're feeling better. You know what I'm saying? Keith, appreciate your contributions to the show. Really do. And our listening audience, you know, thank you for tuning in to the Freedom Train, your community resource podcast series. As you know, our mission is to connect professionals, business owners, and resources to our community members to help uplift and empower our communities. Oh, yeah, if you're in the Tallahassee, Florida area, June 4th, the Freedom Train is hosting the Southside Community Health and Resource Fair at Rickards High School and the Rickards High School Media Center. The address is 3013 Jim Lee Road. We'll be out there from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Our health and resource fair is in conjunction with the William Gay Football and Youth Camp. So for more information, make sure you email me at freedomtrain@yandex.com. That's yandex.com. Or you can visit our website and click on the community calendar section. And our website, once again, is www.freedomtrainradio.com. Like we say, every Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, sit back, relax, and let us rock your brain. Remember, we're sponsored by PAX Inc., and PAX Inc. is a black advocacy organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. For more information, make sure y'all visit www.pactsinc.org. And once again, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website, www.freedomtrainradio.com. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at _FreedomTrain. Until next time, you know how we do it. Two fingers in the air like a player. We'll see you next week.
All right.
Yes, sir.